This is the Political Economy Podcast. Complexity in an age of climate catastrophe, social injustice, and post-democracy. Hi, this is Zoltan Pogacar, and today we're looking at the triumph of injustice, how the rich dodge taxes and how to make them pay, a book by Emmanuel Saez and Gabriel Zucman, published in 2019 by W.W. Norton. Frenchman Gabriel Zucman is a professor of economics at UC Berkeley, the world's number one academic researcher of the phenomenon of offshore finance, and a friend of the great French economist Thomas Piketty. He became widely known for his 2015 book, The Hidden Wealth of Nations, a preeminent academic treatise on the world of offshore tax evasion. The Spanish-French-American Emmanuel Saez is also an economics professor at UC Berkeley and a leading expert on global inequality and taxation. The theme of the book is how the evolution of the tax system and the international financial system, especially offshore finance, has enabled the formation of the class that Thomas Piketty calls the super rich. These are the wealthiest citizens of our nations who pass on the vast majority of national wealth through inheritance today, and whose circles are almost impossible to penetrate through hard work or great business strategy. This, of course, goes entirely contrary to the allegedly opportunity-creating, rags-to-riches nature of capitalism, which is regularly evoked by economic liberals. Capitalism is not a static, fixed, unchanging system, neither in space nor in time. Its present form is far more unjust than its previous one had been prior to the neoliberal counter-revolution of Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, Friedrich Hayek, and third-wave ideologue Anthony Giddens. The super-rich used to be much thinner before. As Saez and Zucman emphasize, it was not by accident, for instance, that personal income tax rates of over 70% used to be levied on the richest in the US during and after Roosevelt. The goal was not simply redistribution. Modern monetary theory, for example, claims that the state does not really need taxes to finance education and healthcare and other subsystems that establish social mobility. Listen to episode 1 of this podcast for more on this. Thus, the neoliberal claim that the welfare state or the pension system are unsustainable is unjustified. The real aim of high top income tax rates during and after Roosevelt and in other Western countries before neoliberalism was to prevent overly wealthy oligarchs from having a disproportionate influence on the democratic process by buying up politicians, something that has since become standard practice. The best democracy money can buy, Americans jokingly say about themselves. All this is obviously contrary to the aims of the founding fathers and should be avoided. The super rich should pay progressively higher taxes, according to Zucman and Saez. And not just any rate, but specifically a confiscatory rate. Saez and Zucman then go on to show how tax rates were flattened out during Reagan's neoliberal counter-revolution. By the time we come to the Trump era, if we take into account all tax revenues, property, income, corporate, labor, etc., we find that the poor pay more taxes proportionally than the rich. This is how it has become possible that, as Saez and Zucman demonstrate, before neoliberalism, everyone was growing richer, except the super rich, who were deliberately suppressed through taxation, while under neoliberalism, the super rich grow super rich super quickly, and at the same time, the majority increase their wealth slower than the average and slower than before. And the very poorest even begin to grow even poorer. It was as a consequence of this process that the inequalities have opened up brutally, as we very well recognize today. And of course, most of the poorest in the United States are black, who are more likely to be forced into criminality and are incarcerated at a much higher rate. They are more likely to catch the coronavirus because of their more crowded living conditions, and are shot and killed at a much higher rate by the police. The neoliberal tide does not lift all boats, only yachts, as Sayers and Zucman demonstrate throughout their book. Nor is it an incidental circumstance that, as shown by Sayers and Zucman, the economy as a whole has grown more slowly in the neoliberal era, in spite of Hayek and Friedman constantly referring to their system having the capacity to unleash the creative energies of the market. Not only has neoliberal capitalism grown slower overall than redistributive capitalism beforehand, but it has also relied on a process of rapid and unsustainable debt accumulation. This aspect is not mentioned by Sayers and Zucman themselves, but is strongly emphasized in the work of Australian economist Steve Keen, amongst others. How to tackle offshore tax evasion? A key element of the formation of brutal inequality, plus our democracy being captured by large corporations and wealthy individuals, has to do with offshore leakage. Politicians, campaign financed by the super rich, often claim to be forced to continually reduce taxes because otherwise capital would flee to offshore tax havens. The truth, however, is that the very opportunity of offshore tax evasion had been created and enlarged by the very same captured political class. By now, its extent jeopardizes the very functioning of democracy. The authors provide a great deal of data in this regard. They show a titanic volume this phenomenon has matured to, both in the case of wealthy individuals and of transnational corporations. The process is circular. The super rich by politicians, who then make them even richer by cutting taxes and leaving offshore tax avoidance in place. However, Sayers and Zucman do not wish to reinforce people's sense of helplessness by implying that nothing can be done. The idea that if the state raised taxes, the money would just flow offshore. The authors do not agree with this pessimistic assessment. They make it clear that the widespread view that individual states cannot do anything about the phenomenon is simply wrong. To cite just their most significant example, the reparation tax. Within the framework of the OECD tax-based cooperation, each national tax authority receives information on where the transnational corporations active on their territories transfer their taxable revenues to. They have the option of levying a compensatory tax on this runaway tax base, which would be a rate equal to what a firm would have to pay if it did not manipulatively transfer its tax base to another location within the multinational group. With this reparation tax, states violate no international treaty. Indeed, there are a number of other options available to the states that the book discusses. Therefore, it is time to realize that if a government takes no action against offshore tax leakage, it is not because it cannot, but because it chooses not to. From this realization onwards, it is the responsibility of the electorate to replace such government. Sayers and Zucman's book is important for understanding the kind of world we live in, but also for regaining the confidence that there is indeed space to change this world and reclaim our democracies from the super rich. Contrary to the liberal conception, the number one source of danger to democracy is no longer the state, as it was in the case of Nazism and communism. The state is simply an apparatus that the super rich have forced to work for them alone. They, the super rich, are the number one source of danger in the world we live in.
You've been listening to the Political Economy Podcast.